Morning, everybody. I'm Robert Schuller, and you're watching the Robert Schuller Ministries, a church with no walls.
Good morning. Welcome to church. I'm Donna Schuller. You have a little southern draw there.
Good morning. Southern draw.
Good morning, everybody.
Whatever.
That was the first time. I don't think so. You did.
I just came from the south.
No, we didn't.
I have no idea what you're talking about. But anyway.
Just a little bit. Good morning, everybody.
You're so
we always
funny.
Like to joke around a little bit, but this is the day the Lord has made, right?
Go ahead, finish it.
No.
Yeah, you started it.
We will rejoice and be glad in it. And we're coming to you on this beautiful morning because every Sunday morning is a beautiful morning. And Robert got last Sunday off because I delivered the message. And it was kind of fun. It was really different. I'm used to speaking to women and live people. That's very different speaking to a camera where live people are watching, but you know, we don't get that, the interaction and the feedback, and it's amazing how, you know, life gives life. And so anyway, it's a lot harder just to speak to a camera knowing there's people out there listening.
But yeah, there's clearly an advantage speaking to a live audience because you can look in their eyes and you can, you go, they have no idea what I'm talking about.
They have no idea. I better explain it.
And then you have to explain it some more. Looking at the camera, you just assume everybody knows what you're talking about. Yeah. Everything's cool. And you just keep going. And meanwhile, you've left everyone behind. But here we are.
Oh.
And we're trying to communicate the love of Jesus with the world. And today, specifically, his love and his spirit that comes to give you freedom and life. And so Donna's going to be reading about that in Romans 8, and I'm going to be talking about some of the current events that are taking place in our society and the culture today and how that applies to our freedom. And so we're going to be talking about all kinds of stuff. So I just may leave you in the dark and you're going, this guy's a conspiracy theorist or something. I don't know. But anyway, here we are. And we're here to praise God and to worship him. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a God who loves, you're a God who cares, you're a God who reaches down and touches lifelessness and sin and brings peace and joy and goodness and hope and freedom. And so it is to you that we come and we pray. The God who created everything there is, the God who controls everything. And so, Lord, we pray right now that you will touch our hearts, our minds, that you will give us the awareness and the understanding of who you are, that you will draw us to you, and that we will find our freedom through Jesus. And so we love you, Lord, and we praise your name always and forever. Amen.
Amen. I just thought of it. I know why you said had a little southern draw. We just got back from a vacation in Wyoming, and we were wearing Western gear.
That was the farthest
That's
thing
what it
mind.
Is. There has to be a reason.
No, that's the farthest thing from my mind. You're just hearing what you want to hear. Okay. But anyhow,
I'll replay it for him. He did. He had a little southern
twang. See, I was born and raised with more of a Midwest accent. My parents were both born and raised in Iowa. And then I was actually born in Illinois, and my 6 months old, my parents moved to California. So if I have any kind of an accent, it's a Southern California accent, and
you do.
And with a little bit of the South Dakota kind of y'all thing mixed in, because my parents would have had that kind of an accent, and but
we'll talk
you
about this
on
later.
The other hand, you. Your mother came from
the Deep South.
The Deep South, yeah, Mississippi.
When she was 16, though, years and years ago, she was very young. And so she really never had a Southern accent. However, I visited my wonderful aunt and my cousins and my grandma and grandpa, a mamo and papo, as we called them. And
so
the
I rest my and, case.
Yeah. And I agree. But that's why I recognize it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, why don't you read our scripture this morning and offer a prayer, and I'll be back.
Okay. All right. So this morning's scripture is from Romans 8, verses 1 through 17. And we typically read from the New International Version, the NIV. But this morning, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I had recently read this scripture in reading through the Bible in a year, and it made more sense to me. It's good to go and look at different versions if you're confused about what the scripture is saying, because, you know, this isn't the original language, English. So hear this version from the New Living Translation. It's Romans 8, 1 through 17. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and to peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit, you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are the heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share in his sufferings. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for reminding us that your Spirit lives in us, that your Spirit directs us and takes us on the right path. That if we close our ears to everything that doesn't lead us towards life and peace and love and joy and fulfillment, if we just close that off and follow you, Lord, our lives are peaceful. Our lives are great. Our lives are filled with joy, even through sorrows. We figure out through you, Lord, what life is all about. Lord, I ask right now that your Holy Spirit would fill the lives and the souls of people that are listening this morning, that have joined us for this service, Lord. If there's a lot of hurt or anger out there, which I'm sure there is, that people have been harmed. If there's illness in any way, physically, mentally, spiritually, Lord, would you heal these people right now? Let them believe that you're healing them. Let them feel a touch from you like they've never experienced before. We love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for being in our hearts and our souls and our minds at all times. In your name we pray. Amen.
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 So as I As I was looking at the monitor, I noticed that we have new chairs.
Oh, yeah. We've had them a couple weeks now. Yeah. We finally got new chairs. Yeah. Yeah. Dining room chairs. Yes. Yeah. Office chairs, dining room chairs, whatever.
They're the chairs that are available for me to use. And so I bring them over here.
Exactly.
But I think we still had the old ones last week.
No, we didn't.
Because we hadn't sold Mm-mm. them yet.
No.
No. No. Were we using these?
They've been gone for 3 weeks.
Okay. Oh, well.
Well, we can go back and look.
Anyway, here we are. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we do on a Sunday morning is we collect an offering. And we do that so that we have an opportunity to express our faith in God and everything he does for us. And that's why we collect an offering. At the same time, God uses that to support his church, to support his ministry. And we, if you choose to support this ministry, we want to thank you. And especially we want to thank all those who have made a commitment and are recurring donors, which make it possible for Don and I to be here every single Sunday to share with you the good news of Jesus Christ, to enlighten you in different areas of how the gospel relates to what's going on in the world today, because it is a changing world. Mm-hmm. And it is so much different than it was when I was a child, and it's become very, very apparent in the last 3-4 years, and is continuing to one of our goals is to shed light on evil that is in this world, so that we can shed the light on it, and as a result of shedding light on the evil, it has a way of just taking care of itself from then on. It's just like darkness. You shed the light in the darkness, and the darkness just goes away. So that's one of the things we do in this ministry, which makes us a little unique. So Donna, would you tell people how they can support this ministry?
Yes, please. First of all, we'd like to encourage you to go on our website, drschuler.org. I'm going to spell that out because closed captioning doesn't do a good job of that. It's drschuller.org, drschuler.org, one word. Or you can go to robertschulerministries.org. Again, one word, robertschulerministries.org. That's our website. And there's a little button that says, I'd like to give. You click on that, it'll take you seconds if you've done this before app already has your information. Otherwise, it takes about 30 seconds, 30 to 45 seconds to complete the process. And again, like Robert said, we appreciate any and all donations that you feel called to give to this ministry. While you're on our website, you can look at our blogs. You can look at the links to lots of things we've done and that we have going. One of the things is this service every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. I've had people ask, they click in there under church services and they say, well, you weren't there. There's a little prompt now. There's a little screen that says we're offline, but join us at 8 a.m. Pacific time on any social media, but especially on drschuler.org, drschuller.org. Join us there. And it's really important that we continue to build our website, because social media platforms are not dependable. They're apt to censor us, which they have done before. There's all kinds of bots out there, robots that are artificial intelligence, if you want to call them that, AI, that go in and they censor people for things that are not acceptable by the government. I know this sounds unreal, but it's against our constitutional rights, and we should be able to have free speech, all of us. People that disagree with us, people that agree with us, we should be able to have free speech. So please go and register at drschuler.org. And now we've got our blogs. We've got hundreds of blogs. They're all divided into categories so that if you're feeling anxious or depressed or even suicidal, unfortunately, that's an epidemic right now with young people, you can go into the category, I believe it's spirituality or mental health. Anyway, there's all these categories. There's categories in family, there's categories in physical health and wellness. And so all of these blogs have been meticulously now filed away instead of just having, you know, a few hundred blogs on a page that are categorized. So please go check that out. We've spent years writing these things, and I'm getting ready to add a few more in there based on my book. But again, back to the offering, go to drschuler.org, and there's a button that says, I'd like to give. If you scroll all the way to the bottom of the homepage, you'll see our mailing address, which is 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. Again, you're going to want to scroll to the bottom to get that. That's a lot to write down unless you're a fast writer. And you can give that way. People do mail in checks. So you can give that way. Or you can go to Venmo, and it's Robert Schuler Ministries is our Venmo account. We take Venmo as well. And again, you know, thank you so much for those of you that give to us. We couldn't do what we do without you. You know, we have a podcast that goes out on all the platforms. We have this Sunday morning service at 8 a.m. We have a live church service at 10 a.m., which we don't record. It just didn't work out. We did that for a while, but it just, yeah, we don't have the staff. It's Robert and I, and we're not allowed to play the music that we sometimes use through some artists that are copyrighted. We do have Rick live there when he's there. So, if you're local, come to service at 10 a.m. at the Newport Beach Civic Center. And we meet in the beautiful community room. And we have a great group of people that came together in March of 2020. That's when we started this little church. So come by and visit us if you're in Southern California on Sunday morning, 10 a.m.
So, Dawn, I want you to see this one comment that we had from Carlton Spindle.
Oh, Carlton.
Wyoming is not Southern, laugh out loud.
No, I know Wyoming's not Southern, but when you wear cowboy gear on ranches, ha ha ha.
Yeah, well.
I know. Having a mom from Mississippi and Alabama, I know where the Deep South is. And I know.
Well, I want to put a plug in for Donna's book.
Thank you. If you
haven't got a copy of her book, Fearless Women, Transform Negative Emotions into Positive Realities, go to Amazon.com and order it now for your mom, if you're a male, if for your wife, for your sisters, for your daughters,
co-workers.
So just get a dozen copies and pass them out. They will be thrilled and delighted. It's great reading, and it will literally turn your negative emotions into positive realities. So, Fearless Women, did you want to say something else?
I just want to say that the proceeds go right into the ministry, and we can do all kinds of good things with those proceeds. So it goes right in there. That's a great thing about Amazon. I don't do any bookkeeping, just the sales go right into the ministry account. So thank you. And if you did buy a book, please go on Amazon and write a review. I keep getting notices that I need more reviews. I've sold about 200 books, but I only have 7 reviews last I checked. So it's really important because a review costs you nothing, but Amazon bumps it up in the, you know, whatever, the ratings or something. So I just want to get the message out. It's about the message of being fearless, and especially in today's world and what's going on. We need to speak up. We need to be bold. We need to get involved in local things, including politics, like we've never done before, because it is a battle of good versus evil. And we know you guys are good people, so we want you involved.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. So okay. I'm going to take off, go walk the dog. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for understanding, Carlton, that I know that Wyoming is not in the South. But when you wear Western clothes and you were chewing on toothpicks, he was hilarious. So I'm thinking, oh, okay, well, that's why this is our first Sunday back. Maybe he just all of a sudden decided to play a role or something.
No, I have no idea. But anyway,
we have fun.
Yeah.
Okay, God is blessing you. See you soon.
So I'm continuing to talk and share and go through the lectionary that is provided by the Reformed Church in America, the denomination of which I was ordained in 1980. And so I want to continue to talk about and go through this lectionary. The topic for today is called childhood? No, shucks, I didn't write it down, but heredity and being a child of God. And it deals specifically with Romans 8, verses 1 through 17. And what they do in this particular portion of the liturgy is, and the liturgy is actually what they do is they tell you, they give you topics to preach. They have 4 years of topical sermons, of which I've never gone through in my entire life. And I decided that, you know what, I'm going to go through one of these and just see what it's like. And so this is what I'm doing. And meanwhile, it gives us something to talk about and gives me an opportunity to be able to tie this to current events. Because one of the things we have to realize is that as children of God, which is what this talks about specifically in the latter verses 14 through 17 of Romans 8, talks about us being children of God. As we realize that we are children of God, what I have to realize is that since I was baptized as a child by parents who took that very seriously, who were children of parents who took their baptism of their children very seriously, meaning that my grandparents, my parents, my aunts, my uncles, everyone who surrounded me and my family were devoted followers of Jesus Christ. They baptized their children. They taught their children the ways of scriptures. They taught their children what scripture was all about. And so I was in a Christian bubble. And as a result of being in this Christian bubble, it was a beautiful way to be raised because I felt secure. I felt loved. I was protected from evil. But the downside of it, quite honestly, my parents were raised in that same bubble on the farm in Iowa. And as a result of that, evil wasn't apparent and didn't really seem real, except for very foreign places like Hitler and Mao and Stalin and other world leaders who completely distorted society and culture with propaganda and produced all kinds of evil doctrines and murder and genocide. And that, again, was foreign. That was the opposite ends of the globe. Here in America, we were surrounded with this spirituality, which included not only in my family and in my home and my church, but continued in the schools. When I was a child, when I first started kindergarten, prayer was part of the school and Bible reading was part of the schools. It wasn't until later in the 60s, when I was in elementary school still, that they were taken out, but the flavor and the mood and the understanding was still there. And in fact, when I was later, and we had a thing called Release Time Christian Education. And what they did is they actually gave students an opportunity to leave their classroom and go in and sit in a trailer, which is designed like another classroom, and receive Christian education. It seemed like most of the kids in my classroom would actually opt into participating in Release Time Christian Education. So what's my point? Why am I sharing all this with you? Is evil today, it is alive and real in America, is prevalent, can be seen in lots of different ways, because we no longer are raising our children in Christian values. In fact, I blame my generation, the baby boomers, as the first ones that said, I'm going to let my children grow up and make the spiritual decisions for themselves. Big mistake. If you have Christian children if you have children right now, if you're young enough to have young children, I want to encourage you right now to not let your children make the spiritual decisions for themselves. You're a parent. You need to raise them and give them the spiritual tools they need to be able to understand who Jesus is, to be able to understand who they are in Christ, to be able to understand that they are children of God, that their spiritual and physical existence is all intertwined. And all of this has bearing on what I'm talking about today and how our society and how culture is being developed. So the good news is that I believe the pendulum, which has swung so far to one side, is coming back. And why do I say that? I say that for several reasons. First of all, there is there is a new law. Okay, show, there it is. Ah, here we go. This is an announcement that has taken place that I read. And this is Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, regardless of what you think of him, this is what happened. He handpicked the board of the, I can't read that because of the graphic on there. Let me get rid of this graphic a minute. The graphic so I can see it. There we go. The Florida Governor Ron DeSantis handpicked the board on the Central Florida Tourism Oversight District, announced this week that it has ended all diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. So District Administrator Glenton Gilzian announced the abolition of the programs that were adopted by the former Reedy Creek Improvement District, that discrimination against Americans based on gender and race, costing taxpayers millions of dollars, according to the CFTOD. And he said in a statement that the old district's DEI initiatives were, and I'm quoting him, were illegal and simply un-American. Now, why is that important? Here's why I'm sharing this with you. Like I said, the pendulum is moving back from going as far left as it possibly can, from allowing no understanding of our spiritual realities and who we are in Christ. The pendulum is swinging back so that we as Christians and we as believers in God and we who understand that we have a spiritual being that lives and resides within us, the Holy Spirit of God, have an opportunity to be able to raise our children without them that understanding and that education being undermined by their grade school teachers and ripped out of them and tearing apart our families. That is changing. And why is it so important that the Reddy County in Florida has said there's no more DEI allowed in their institutions? Because Reddy is where Disney World is. Disneyland, Disney Corporation, has been one of the most woke corporations in America and has been using DEI exclusively throughout their institutions. And as a result of that, if they are found guilty of using DEI in their employment and in their distribution of information, they will face fines and it is illegal. And so they need to reevaluate where they are as an institution, as a corporation, as a company in America. Personally, I believe Disney needs to align themselves with pure human family values, because that is their market. And by not doing so, they are hurting their shareholders. And if you own shares of Disney stock, it's time for you to go to stockholder meetings and voice your concerns and request to have upper management replaced as a result. And you have the freedom to do that. In fact, if you want to vocalize that, if you desire to be a spokesman like that, simply buy enough shares so that you qualify to go to the meetings, and it's not many. It's not a lot. It's not a big investment to do that, and you can do that, and you can voice your concerns. I want to encourage you to do something like that. We need to start doing that. So that's one of the pendulum swings. Another pendulum swing, in the state of Louisiana, they passed a new law in their public schools. What their public schools need to do in every classroom and every building of the schools, if they wish to continue to have state funding, they have to display the United States motto, "In God We Trust." I don't know how they're going to implement that, but that's what they're doing, and that's what's happening. So every classroom is going to have the word God within it. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's challenged in court, if it goes to the Supreme Court. But the point that I'm making is the pendulum, which has taken away our children, which has taken away our spiritual realities, which has taken away the beauty of America, is swinging back. We're winning the war against the far left, who want totalitarian systems to take place for equality, because the only way you ever get equality in any government, in any society, is to take from the rich and give the poor. And when you do that, the poor stay poor and the rich just become poor also. That's all that happens. The best government that we have found in history, and through historical examples, we know that the best system to create the greatest amount of freedom and equality is a free society that is based upon free commerce and the ability to trade and the ability to be able to have a democracy. And the United States would take it a step further, a republic, and through that republic, free trade. That is what we know. And the more government gets involved, the less freedom there is and the less equality there is. And in the last 4 or 5 years, we have seen the middle class in America shrink. We have seen the ultra rich become that much richer and the poor become that much poorer. It's time to change that. It's time for us to be able to bring the middle class back. And believe it or not, it starts on a spiritual plane. That's why it's so important, the message that I bring and the message we have in Romans. It starts on a spiritual plane. And as parents and grandparents, we need to instill upon our children the full knowledge of God's grace and love for us. So if we go now to Romans 8, here's the things I want you to hear. It begins with this paragraph. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation is the sentence that we receive for our sinful nature. We have to recognize that humanity is essentially sinful. And once we recognize that, then we need to come and confess our sins. And when we do, we are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven, and there is no more condemnation. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Then further down we read, the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. What Paul talks about here in Romans is the fact that our bodies, our flesh, he refers to it as the flesh, and he also refers to it as the bodies, are sinful, and it just makes us want to try and take care of our physical needs on our own, completely. So we start no longer worshiping God, but we worship the dollar, we worship the food, we worship the land, we worship our entertainment, we worship sex, we worship physical things. And yet integrated within this soul and this mind and this heart is the Spirit of the living God. It is the Holy Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of Jesus. It is God's Spirit living within us. And as we recognize that Spirit, which is, in again, intertwined within our physical needs and our physical realities, we come to the conclusion that it is more important for us to satisfy our spiritual needs than our physical needs. And those physical needs are satisfied when we recognize our spiritual needs and aim and qualify those first and foremost. The mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Did you hear that? It is life, and life only, the physical life only is perpetuated when we feed it, shelter it, water it, care for it. We have healthy natural sex so we can produce children in the next generation. And as a result of that, life continues. But it only happens as we recognize the Spirit of God within us. That's why what Louisiana is doing is so important. In God we trust. And when we no longer trust in God, when we no longer have the foundation of Him, then evil begins to perpetuate within our children. And we no longer know what's good and what's bad. Our morality is completely gone. And what's good becomes bad, and what's bad becomes good, and language becomes incomprehensible. Girls become boys, boys become girls. It becomes insanity. And there's no peace in insanity. There's no salvation in insanity. It's only through the pure understanding of God's love that we are children of God that it becomes understandable. So later, as we read through Romans 8, we come to verse 10, and it says, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And it is because of that righteousness that we have our spirit. It is the saving grace of God. He talks a lot about the law in here. Laws do not save us. The law of God does not save humanity. It is a tool through which we strive. So it becomes a benchmark for us. The laws of God that we have within the Bible is the benchmark for which we strive and we work towards, but it is not our salvation. Our salvation comes through the grace of Jesus. It is through Him that we have our sins forgiven, but only when we confess our sins. And if we don't have the law to know what our sins are, we can't come and confess our sins and receive forgiveness. If we say everything is good, then there is no sin, and that then we never have our sins forgiven. So the law is there. It's important for us to have that law, but the law is there not for our salvation. It is there for our understanding, to open our eyes to the needs of Jesus, to the needs of God, so we can come before God every single day, because we are physical beings, and as such, and we're evil beings, and as such, we need to be able to come before God and confess our sins, even if we don't know what they are. Because if you go through history and you look at some of the evils in history, such as slavery, in the early days of slavery, it wasn't even recognized as evil. So the question is, what are we doing today that is evil that we don't even recognize? And so we come before God on a regular basis. We confess our sins, even the ones we don't know, and we ask God to forgive us our sins, to open our eyes, and to lead us in such a way that we can become purified and follow more of the laws of God. And finally, we get to verse 16, where the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. That's what I want you to hear today. We are God's children and heirs. As a result, we are heirs of everything God has. When I've traveled and gone around the world and I've studied cultures, one of the things I've discovered in the American culture, which is really rather unique to, say, European culture or South American culture or other cultures around the world, is the whole idea of inheritance. In foreign cult, in America, inheritance is almost a curse in some ways. A curse in that, well, I didn't earn it. I didn't go and make it myself. I didn't come up from rags to riches. My parents developed all this, and now I'm inheriting it. And therefore, it's not as good, or I'm not as good a person. And that's kind of an underlying tone of many people in America today. It is the entitlement kind of a thing. But in other cultures, it is more normal and understood that children will follow in their father's steps and their parents' steps, and they will take care of the business, take it to the next level, and try to develop that. And that actually is a more scriptural understanding of being children of God. We are children of God and heirs of this knowledge and this understanding of life. And as such, we have an obligation to our children to pass on what we have been blessed with, the knowledge and the understanding of the grace of God. And by doing so, you will shield your children and your grandchildren from evil and from wickedness. You won't shield them from pain, and you won't shield them from suffering, but you will shield them from evil in that the angels of God will be with them. God will hear our prayers. He will listen to us. And he will give them the understanding and the knowledge of the love of Jesus. And by so doing, we will find peace and love and joy, and quite frankly, all of the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Those are all beautiful qualities. And is there a parent alive today who would not want their children to have all of those characteristics? It comes by the Holy Spirit entering our children's lives when they're baptized as babies. Oh man, I didn't hide this. I just looked down on the monitor and noticed I hadn't. Oh my goodness, that's horrible. There we go. Ah. What is going on? Hide. There we go. So I've delivered this whole message with you looking at that. I apologize, everybody, that you had to look at that screen. But I can't go back and change it. I can just go forward. And we'll put this on our podcast, which is only audio. So that'll be good enough. Sorry, again, I apologize. I had no idea it was on there. I just looked down at the monitor and saw it. Ah, that's frustrating. But here we are. And there is work to be done as individuals and people. And I want to encourage you. I want to realize that the Spirit of God is alive and well, and that through his goodness, we will truly come to the full knowledge of God's love for us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this moment. We thank you for your scriptures. We thank you for your Bible. And so as we continue to read it, as we continue to allow it to shape our lives, we pray that you will continue to spread your power throughout the United States of America and thus the world, that people will come back to you, that the pendulum that has swung so far left will come back. And as a result of that, we will proclaim Jesus Christ is Lord. So protect our freedoms, O Lord, we pray in your Son's name, always and forever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord grant you his peace. And you're lying down and you're rising up in your labor and your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen. God is blessing you, everybody. Have a great day. And I hope you enjoyed the audio on this broadcast today. Bye-bye.